And now, here's your host, Alessandra Torrisani.
Brian Feminella, you just showed up. You are so cute. You are just like a ball of energy and life. My Alexa just went off because it wanted to say hello. I mean, that is how excited I am right now.
Oh, I'm so glad.
But I have honestly heard your name so much. I've heard tons about you, but I don't know. I've heard tons about you from friends and like personal experiences and like the great times they've had. And you know many of the guests that have been on Emotional Support. You know Britt Brunson, Derek Jameson, Matthew Lewis. Like, we have the whole, like, gang here, and I'm so excited
to... The gang together.
Yes, and I'm so excited to have you on the show right now, and I just have so many questions for you. First of all, thank you for coming on here. Secondly, thank you for being such a mental health advocate. You post so many beautiful things, and you are a strong... You strongly work with NAMI, which I'm an ambassador for, and I just... give everything to. But my first question for you, Brian, is what is the deal? You were in the army? Because I went back on your Instagram and I saw pictures of you in a uniform and I was like, excuse me? What? Who is Brian?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. Second of all, I can show you right here. Yes, this is, these are my people.
Oh my God, amazing.
I have been in the Army since I was 17. And back in 2017, I'm a year baby, so it goes along.
Wow.
And I have grown a lot and learned a lot from the people that I have served alongside. I am still in the Army. I'm actually commissioning as a second lieutenant in 2 weeks. So become an Army officer.
Oh, this is fantastic. Yeah. I have lots of family that is in the Army, that were in the Navy, that served. I know someone who was in SEAL Team 6. No big deal. That's my big like claim to fame in
that's
life.
That's your flex.
That's my flex. Like, I know someone who was in SEAL Team 6. I have so much respect, first and foremost, for you. And I want to thank you so
thank
much.
You.
I think that I learned something, and I want to be able to say, like, this is right. They almost said, you know, you don't even say anymore, like, thank you for your service. There's some other kind of respect, right, that we should be paying for those who serve in the military and everything. What is the line? Am I saying this wrong?
Oh, I think for all my brothers and sisters in uniform, I think just having support is all, no matter how you choose to express that, means a lot to all of us.
Oh,
so,
I love that.
You know, that is incredible. I think I've been with these last group of people over the last 4 years, and we actually said our goodbyes this morning.
Unit
is officially we are heading out, and we will all go on to different places because I was finishing up my program where I was enlisted, and then I went through ROTC at USC.
Uh-huh.
So our ROTC battalion finished up this morning, and now we have people going to Atlanta for cybersecurity training. We have people going to Korea. We have people deploying in a few months to Middle East. So we have come together and worked together to become Army officers for the last 4 years. And now we'll go on our ways and go lead different groups throughout the United States and abroad. And it's been the honor of my life to grow as a young cadet and soon to be lieutenant alongside some of the best people I've ever met.
So will you stay in, you know, I don't know if you're even allowed to say like where you are, where your training is, but will you stay where you are right now for training for lieutenant?
So I'm going to become a military intelligence lieutenant. So okay. I will be headed down to Fort Huachuca, Arizona for 4.5 months of training. And then I will take my unit in Coronado, California, down in San Diego area.
Yeah.
So should be really exciting get down there. But yeah, it's been a journey, and it's definitely been the best part of who I am. So as much as all the other things I do, the military is number one in my heart.
But now I have to ask, was this something that was part of your family that you grew up around and being, you know, around people who have served for our country? Or was this something that was a decision that was made on your own? What's the kind of the story behind that?
Yeah, so it was all me. I don't have family in the service. And I was in the, you know, a lot of different organizations in high school, saw a lot of different ways to give back. And, you know, I never thought the military was something possible for me. And
why though?
When it became, I think that I didn't fit the bodybuilder, strong,
the box,
super,
right,
the box. Yeah. And I checked boxes that were outside of the box.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of predisposed notions and preconceived notions of who you are and how that changes who you will be as a soldier is false, because I never expected to be where I am today. And I'm extremely grateful for signing that paper 5 years ago and standing here with you today.
Wow. Wow. And what has been like when you first went into the Army, were you overwhelmed? Like, what was kind of the feeling behind it? Were you scared? I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm sure there's excitement, right? Because this is something that you chose to do. It's not like we're living in the days of drafting where you're, you know, petrified and you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. This is not what I want to do. Obviously, there is something in your heart and soul of wanting to protect and serve. But was there still some sort of like jitters and nerves of like first day of camp?
Absolutely. I think so. There's white buses, right? And these white buses, you get on the buses, and there used to be a thing called Shark Attack where we experienced it, where we had all of our luggage in two green duffel bags. Anyone that's listening to this in the military is going to get like PTS. And you're sitting on the bus. You're sitting on the bus with your two duffel bags, and the bus is kind of slowed down in front of these big buildings. And everyone's just like, you can't see, first of all, because you're squished two or three to a seat with your luggage. So you really can only see the green in front of your eyes. And all of a sudden you hear the bus, the sides of the bus, and they're just banging and hitting the windows. And this guy with this circular hat gets on the bus, and they're drill sergeants, but I didn't know what the heck they were called.
Right.
And he goes, you have six, there was probably about 45 of us on that bus. And he goes, you have 60 effing seconds.
Yeah, you can swear. Bus. Yeah. 60 fucking seconds.
60 seconds to get off this bus or you are fucked. And I just remember I was 17 years old. I would look at the person next to me, and he swallowed hard too. And we're like, go. And we're like pushing and falling. And then when we get off the bus, we have to hold the luggage over our head, and they're screaming, run, run. And this was in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And I was Echo Company 334. And it was just insane. It was it was 3 months or however long, don't quote me,
right,
we were there, that, you know, really changed my life, because I learned a lot more about people. And to this day, you know, going through the ROTC program, you know, receiving, going to USC, you know, it was an honor to be, you know, get the opportunity to be in the ROTC program, and also now about a commission as a second lieutenant in the Army. So I'm extremely profoundly grateful, and people in the military humble you in ways that, you know, they come from backgrounds where they're like, oh yes, you know, this tragic thing happened to you. And then when you thought that, you know, you were at your worst moments, it just wasn't true, because there's always people that have it off worse. So be grateful for what you have, and continue to prevail that way.
And when you went to USC, what were you majoring in there? What was the...
Cybersecurity and public policy.
Interesting. Wow. I mean, I just think that it's so fascinating. And I, you know, it's going back to how I met the guy who was in the SEAL Team 6. I was in this movie, and it was like a movie about cars, and we got asked to be there for NASCAR and like open and like do the flag to like be like, yay, like opening flag day at NASCAR races. I don't know. It was something like, I'd never seen a NASCAR race, but I was like, this is so cool. This is so fun. And so I started talking to this guy, and he was like, oh my God, I actually like, you know, we were making funny videos, and he was then telling me his wife was a big fan of mine from the show that I did, The Big Bang Theory. And I was like, oh my God, what do you do? he's like, oh, you know, I just wrote a book and like started. I had no idea who this person was, right? I had no idea it was a celebrity. But I saw that everyone kept taking pictures with him and everyone wanted his autograph and everyone was asking stories. And so then one of the directors, like the director and the producer from the film said to me, they're like, don't you know who that is? I was like, no. And they're like, that's Robert O'Neill. I was like, cool, who's Robert O'Neill? Like, I had no idea like any of the story behind it, right? And so they start telling me. And so it was so fascinating because then I said to him, I was like, oh my God, Rob, I was like, this is, thank you. I like, thank you for everything that you've done and made us so safe here where we don't have to worry about, you know, the things that are currently, let's say, for instance, are going on in Ukraine, right? I mean, we're taking advantage of the fact that I can go to a grocery store right now and I can drive myself there and people are complaining about gas prices. But at the end of the day, like I can drive myself to the grocery store and get food safely and bring it back home to my family. End of story. But he put into perspective, and I think that this is what I love that what you do is the importance of you know, we look to people who are serving the country and we're like, oh my God, it's like, they're not even real people, right? You don't associate this. And he shared this story and I'm not going to share the story because it's his to share. So I'm not going to go into it, but it was very personal and celebrating a Christmas before Christmas because he knew he wasn't going to be here for Christmas and maybe never come back for another Christmas ever again. And I think that this is something that we as humans forget, right? That there is a human, you know, there's a personality, there's emotions, there's feelings, there's struggles, there's mental health. It's fucking real is what I'm trying to say. And I think that we forget that as, I don't know what would be called, like civilians, like basic bitches over here. Like as basic bitches, we don't understand that. And we need to be,
bitches.
Yeah. And we need to be constantly reminded of this because if it's not for the brave souls such as yourself who are there to support us, we would be at a loss. And I think that I'm loving so much that you came on this podcast to share like some intimate moments to really make it just have that, you know, feeling the feels like that it is a real feeling, you know, when you've been serving and, you know, when you go away and you do all these things, you know, where do you find the support? You know, you have, you know, your brothers and sisters around you, you know, and obviously that's probably the number one support, but have there ever been moments where you still feel completely alone, even though you're going through the same process and journey together?
I think it's about how you approach each situation you handle. My lieutenant colonel always tells us, our commander always tells us, you know, life is not about the situations you get yourself into, it's how you respond.
Interesting.
And I think that for us, no, I mean, it's hard. Like, even my closest friends on the civilian side, it's like speaking a different language when we talk about certain things. So I'll be on the phone with somebody in the military and they'll hang up and they'll be like, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
And I was like, don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. But that bond is inseparable. And I mean by that is like, I've gone to training, with people that are, I've known for 2 months, 3 months, and I'm closer with them than people I've known for 6 years. And that's not because the people for 6 years aren't important. They aren't valued. It's just that you share a similar bond and a story, putting that uniform on, where it doesn't matter who you are, what you identify as, where you come from, your story. When that uniform gets on, you're one team.
Right.
And that to me has been irreplaceable because you don't, I mean, yes, there are moments when you feel alone, when you have to make decisions,
sure,
or when you're, you know, out there on the battlefield, and I, you know, fortunately have not been on, you know, the battlefield yet. And, but, you know, even when you're training during any kind of field training exercises or whatnot, you know, I believe that it's about how you can hold each other up because we understand.
Right.
You have that shared understanding of, no, it's not, you won't understand. No, we do all do understand because we're all doing it with you. So, in a sense, no, I have felt very secured It might be 5 in the morning and it might be terrible, but I've always felt very secure being around every single person, whether it be in an ROTC program, whether it be when I was enlisted, regardless of what it may be, you feel safe. And yeah, that sense of security is irreplaceable. And if any of my future soldiers or any of my colleagues and comrades now give me a phone call, whether it's 2 in the morning or 1 in the afternoon, you answer that phone.
You answer that
phone.
And
that's a bond that you can't buy.
Oh, it just makes my heart melt, because I will never understand, but I can try to understand, and I can relate in other aspects of my life of that bond. I mean, this is not the same at all, but I understand in the sense where, like, when you do a movie with someone, you create a bond with them, and sometimes there's a deeper connection. Or I'll even say, like, specifically, like, when I find other people who live with bipolar disorder, like I do, and you can talk about scenarios and situations of mania, you know, it's very hard to put things into words, right? It's a very difficult thing, but you know the experience and the sensation that you felt together. And that's such a special bond where you can't explain it to other people. So I do understand that feeling. I mean, to an extent. You know, one of the things that...
Yeah, you got to hang out with the Big Bang Theory, all of you. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I got that going for me. But, you know, it's interesting because I've had so many people. I think that the number one request that I've had for the podcast since I've started it was for me to interview, whether it be someone who was currently serving for our country or a vet, to talk about mental health and to talk about PTSD, or not even just specifically PTSD, but what are the things that you experience when you're in there? You have not been to battle yet, is that what the proper way to say that? I don't want to like mess that up, but I have not
been deployed.
And you have not been deployed yet. Thank you. See, this is why I need you. I'm learning. Thank you. You have not been deployed yet, and you have not been in those situations, but you do understand, and you've seen these, and you've been trained by people that have. Is mental health, like, what is something that we can do to fix and to help out current serving people, veterans? What is mental health with the military and the, you know, serving our country specifically mean? What can I do?
I think for the military, I have had a lot of great colleagues that... One of my closest friends in basic training, he had the opportunity to go to combat in 2018, and he lost a majority of his memory to post-traumatic stress. And it was hard because he didn't remember me too much. And building back that memory and that, you know, recollection was hard. I was young, and I'm still young, but I was younger. And it was really hard to understand. And then, you know, I started to work on mental health regardless of, you know, how it played a role in my life. And I started to see soldiers who were struggling a lot and were afraid to come forward for this fear of judgment. And I noticed in doing a lot of research in the military community that it's this sense of you're not manly or you're not strong if you have vulnerabilities and you have instances of anxiety or depression or ADHD or ADD. And I challenge those soldiers or anyone in the world that has that perspective, because I actually think it makes you closer and it shows that you are a real person, because it doesn't matter how many weights you can rack at the gym, because I know people that can bench 400 pounds and emotionally, if there was a bench for weightlifting emotionally, they couldn't lift a single pound. And I think there's so much on the mental discipline that the Army teaches you. And I think that a lot of the times our shortcomings are in the fact that you have to be afraid. You have to be okay with being the one to stand out, to show others that it's okay to talk about these things. If everyone's afraid and nobody has that avenue, you don't have to go to therapy. You can do other options. And I think soldiers are afraid of therapy. They're afraid of psychiatrists because if they prescribe us medication or they do certain things, you know, you can lose your whole career.
Right.
And I think that fear is valid.
Oh, that's so interesting. I never thought of that.
So that's a whole thing. Wow. Because, you know, you, you can have certain mental health, you know, issues in the military. And, you know, sometimes mental health catches up with you and, you know, maybe it's not the best time for you to serve. But those that, you know, just need a little help, just need a little helping hand, they're afraid to even reach out because they're afraid of the judgment. They're afraid of any retaliation. They're afraid of losing their whole entire life. And I think that the one thing we can do from a mental health perspective is, as leaders, as platoon leaders and your lieutenants, as company commanders, as captains, typically, as battalion commanders, all the way to generals, I think you have to show that you as a leader can be vulnerable and show your shortcomings. I have to tell you, there was one instance where one of my battalion commanders gave us his resume, and it was a resume of failures.
Wow.
And that was so powerful because it showed us, hey, I am a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army, been deployed to combat and been all over the world. Yet look at my shortcomings. Right. Look at where I failed for my family. Look at where I failed for my kids. Look at where I didn't get the jobs I wanted. And that kind of vulnerability is what we need, especially as soldiers. You don't, and I think people misconstrued like mental health as like you have to just sit there and cry and scream. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just about showing empathy, because being an empathetic leader is the key to how you are perceived, and is the key to how you act. Because sometimes, like myself, I have a very abrasive front. Sometimes when I make decisions in the civilian or the military world, you know, I'm a dick and I don't think, and I'm kind of an ass. And the truth is, behind all that abrasiveness and you know, forceful nature that I have, I am a person that cares with beyond belief, and I care about people. And I think that I really believe that soldiers just need to have that avenue, whether it's going on a bike ride, whether it's talking to a peer, whether it's knowing that someone else is struggling so you don't feel alone.
Right.
That's all it takes. And I think that breaking that stigma that, you know, it's therapy or the highway, that's not true.
Yeah.
And therapy comes in many forms. It doesn't have to be a sit down one-on-one and with a therapist.
No.
It's how you perceive therapy, and it's how you want to help yourself.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's so beautiful. I feel like if we could just take that clip and share that with the world, I think that that would help so much.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Do you ever fear, like, you know, when you go into this, there's so many stories about, you know, PTSD and those who have served, at, you know, and seen things, right, that you can't unsee. Do you ever have that fear of, will this happen to me? Will I feel, you know, will I lose my memory? Will I have these issues later on? Will I not know how to adjust to the real, you know, world when I come back? Like, have you ever had those thoughts?
Absolutely. I think the first perspective is, like I told you, you know, being a cadet, right, at USC, when you're about to graduate, which, you know, we all are about to be commissioned as officers. They give you a life insurance paperwork. And it, when you fill it out, it says like, okay, percentages out of 100. And I remember turning around, the dotted line said percentages out of 100. And I was like, oh, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that means like where the money goes. If you die, who gets it? And I was like, oh, and it's cool. Broken down by percentage. And, yeah. You know, that's one of the first wake up calls you get, especially as a young cadet or a young, you know, when I was a private and when I was a, you know, regardless, like I had to do it when I was a private too. It's eye opening. And I think that though, to be honest with you, this career, we all know that it could end up leading to the ultimate sacrifice. And we love what I love. I can't speak for everybody, but I love what I do.
Right.
And I think that, am I afraid of losing my memory? Am I afraid of getting super hurt? Am I afraid of so many things? 100%. But I'm so much more ambitious and grateful that there are people from all different walks of life who are soldiers, and we can call each other and help each other even when things get really rough.
Right.
And regardless of what may happen, I'll know that everything happens for a reason, and I'm every moment I get to stand there and continue to be with a group of people like I am, it's worth more than $1 million.
Oh, I'm a firm believer in that. And I truly believe everything happens for a reason. We're all here for a purpose. We're all here for a story. And you never know how one story can really truly change someone else's life. It can change the projection of their life, like
absolutely.
What they do and, you know, who you inspire. You don't know, you know, or your mistake may help someone else not have that mistake. You know, you just don't know. How did you get involved with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness? Was this something that you had been working with, you know, them before you enrolled as a cadet, or was this something that you learned through your program?
So NAMI was actually something that I learned about when I started to get into the LGBTQ advocate space, and how, you know, you could talk about your own mental health and the struggles that you faced, you know, being perceived as, you know, not the right words people use to describe people as. And right. I think that NAMI's recent campaign was the most one of the most powerful things that I have ever been a part of. And, you know, being able to scream on camera, people are like, well, what does that mean? And I always like tell people that it's called the Free Your Me campaign. And the Free Your Me campaign allowed every celebrities, mental health advocates, influencers, anybody to get on the camera and scream and let out all of the anxiety, the pain. And it sounds weird, but yelling works. Mm. And it let out a lot of the different instances. And that's where I got to work really close with NAMI. And then through everything I've worked at with SoundMind, which is a mental health tech company that I'm one of the co-founders of.
Yes.
I got to work right directly with NAMI. And we consider them long-term partners, and it's been exciting. And trust me, there's definitely times where as a startup co-founder and CEO, like there are moments where I sit there and I go, wow, I made a wrong choice.
Right.
And I, you know, we run a mental health company, and sometimes I forget that. And sometimes I forget that like everyone needs to be treated with the utmost respect. And sometimes, you know, you forget that and you lose sight of that. And getting grounded again and being re-put in my chair and put in my place, I think it's important sometimes. And I think that, you know, sometimes people see from the outside, it's like, oh, you know, people that, you know, do certain things for mental health, especially like, you know, running a tech company for mental health that's performative. And, you know, sometimes it feels like it. Sometimes it feels like, oh, like maybe people just don't see it. Like, and it's hard. It's definitely hard to know that like all I've wanted to do in service and in using my technical skills and whatever is to help people. And I think that sometimes my inner demons have come out and shown that, you know, I'm young, I don't know everything, I never will ever. And I think that making those mistakes is human nature, but the way that we grow from that is the biggest thing. And I've been learning a lot over the past few weeks and months, because I think that now, as you start to grow as humans in the military with my next career coming ahead, and also with Soundmire with my company, I've learned a lot about, wow, the mistakes I've made hurt people, or they made people not want to believe in my mission anymore. And that's not something that people share all the time. They always say, oh, we raised this much money and we're so amazing, and you sit down and bow at my feet. And sometimes people think that. People think that just because you're getting recognition, or that you want it all, you want this, you want that. Sometimes you question if it's worth it, because you want to help people. And sometimes people on the external side try to put you into a narrative that will make a lot of money, but it won't help a lot of people. And that juxtaposition and that divergence in thought leads to the dispersal of what really could have been a movement, whether it be mental health or whether it be advocacy, because that's what I've been passionate about. And I've had a lot of failures, a lot, but I've also been extremely proud.
But those are the best. I mean, honestly, if you don't have the failures, you can't celebrate the successes. And I'm a firm believer in that. I get so angry with people that are like, oh, it's not good to feel sad. It's not good to feel, you know, these emotions. And it's like, it is, because it makes you appreciate the happy days. It makes you appreciate the best days. You have to have that full spectrum of everything. Not everything is just black and white. It's not one way. It's not the other. It's like, you have to feel everything. You have to experience everything. And I will say that when you fail, right, at your own company, right, or your own podcast or your own whatever it may be, it makes you want to fight that much stronger and that much better and harder to get where you want, because you truly believe in that passion. Or if you fail at it and you go, oh, I don't really care that much that I failed, like, let's move on, then it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't the project for you. It wasn't the space that you were supposed to be in. You know, so I think that that is so important for you to talk about the failures and talk about, you know, how hard it is. And sometimes you just want to be like, fuck this. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, because people don't talk about that with startups. What is SoundMind? If you could share that with everyone.
Yeah, sure. So SoundMind is a B2B software as a service platform for corporate companies to monitor corporate wellness. So they'll get think of it like as a website, and they'll be able to monitor all the different charts, graphs, usage, times they use, feelings, emotions, and what's going on with their employees, while the employees and the front end user is using our music therapy audio and visual application that allows people to engage and interact both with audio soundscapes, both with our new artist platform coming out featuring 20 new music artists, with our visual therapy to help people visually, with our brain games, whatever it may be. We provide that front end experience for users and employees, where on the back end, the HR companies, the employers can monitor corporate wellness and see what's going on with their employees. But the most beautiful part is there's no invasiveness of PII. So PII is personal identifiable information. So the companies cannot see who it is and who they are. They can only see breakdowns of usage and growth or non-growth of how their employees are doing mentally, to have that check, to have that wellness. And this entire platform is going to relaunch our version 2. We have our beta right now out on the App Store, but our version 2 is going to launch. A lot of exciting things in store there, but my co-founder Travis and I have been working around the clock to make sure that the things we do and the decisions we make are the right way forward to utilize technology to help with mental health. And, you know, the shortcomings, the failures, the wins and the losses that you embrace, especially myself, like, have taught me a lot, especially how certain things can lead to great paths and others can lead down a negative rabbit hole.
How did you figure out, you know, for maybe it was a personal experience, or maybe it was for your co-founder, you know, that the importance of sound, how it really can help you zen out, if you will?
Yeah. So, like I explained before, when my really close friend in the military lost his memory to post-traumatic stress, I started to do research at USC underneath the Thornton School of Music, as well as USC Dana and Dornsife College in the neuroscience department, how different mechanisms can help mitigate symptoms of post-traumatic stress. And we went through symptoms of, you know, therapy and also, you know, other weird things that they think would work. And I was like, well, what about sound? And I remember one of the professors was like, aha, fuck no. And they and I was like, okay, let's just try. So we started to play around with different sounds. Some as far back as, you know, them used in Zimbabwe when music therapy was first coined as a term.
And oh, I didn't know that. That's so cool.
Yeah. And it started to actually, and it was used to actually help those who were battling in these tribes and back then calm down.
Yeah.
And de-stress because they didn't know what therapy was. So it was just called like music healing and they would bang drums, but it's a way to bring people together. So that's how it first started, which is ironic.
Wow.
But military, see, it's the correlation's there.
Yeah.
But for us, I conducted research for 2 years, then brought on our now chief of community, Lucy Schaefer, who works directly with me on all of our brain games for the application that are coming out soon.
Cool.
And how each part of the brain is impacted by those through sound and visual game experience. And I think that we found that sound was effective in terms of helping the mind relax, whether that be releasing certain hormones more or releasing. It's all about how sound can take a role and replace certain auditory triggers with positive associations and turning those negative into positive associations.
So almost like a form of meditation, if you will. I mean, it kind of puts your mind
a form of meditation,
data. Yeah,
but unique.
Yeah, right. But that's what I'm saying. That's what sound does to the brain, and it completely calms. Wow, I think that's wonderful. What are kind of like the brain games that you're going to have? I mean, I know you can't probably say a lot of them, but I mean, like, what, you know, what is, tease us.
So
give us a little tease.
Sure. So one is going to have where you're going to be able to select your different 3D character and you'll be able to play through like shopping through a food store and you'll have to pick different items. And that's, people are like, oh, why? It's for memory cognition. It's to help you remember the grocery list. So there's a lot of fun things in store.
Oh my God, I want to play that game right now.
Well, we'll be releasing 3 in July. And then we'll also be releasing our artist platform, which is going to feature some of your favorites from American Idol, some of your favorites from the lo-fi and mental health space, and really bring together a community of artists to not only provide different musical soundscapes that are unique to our platform,
right,
but also they're going to be able to have a 4 to 5 minute voice recording, which we call our artist essential, which is going to allow them to share their story,
whether
it be why they created music or why they have a mental health journey. And that's going to really propel our users to understand that it's okay.
Yeah.
And that's a really good, you know, collaborative effort building that community out. And then we have a couple more features coming out too, especially changing the application. Should I hint at the word dark mode, but maybe a lot is coming out soon. So I think it'll be a fruitful few months. And I'm definitely really, really proud of our team and our success. And I'm proud of all I've learned and I'm proud of them. And I'm humbled by people that sometimes tell you, you know, hey, you made the wrong call or hey, you made a mistake. And I like that because it's hard. It's hard to swallow. And sometimes it can consume you alive. And sometimes I think as a leader, you have to know that if you made a wrong call and you made a wrong decision, you need to sit down, you need to figure out a solution in your mind and you need to move forward. And it's dwelling on it only goes so far because the mistakes are already made. You have got to move forward and you have got to learn. Even if people who you made the mistake from, or even if you yourself can think, well, how do I ever like move past this? Like, no, you can move past this. It's just, you have to be okay with it yourself. And regardless if others ever say, oh, you'll never learn or you'll never,
right.
Only you know the true answer to that question.
Well, and that's obviously something that you learned, you know, through all your training, because that's such an important thing that I think we forget about. And I think that that's wonderful that you're sharing that right now. And I really do appreciate that. I have one other question, you know, getting back to, you know, all the wonderful work that you do with the LGBTQIA community and with NAMI. You know, is there anything where you can like share with others how, I guess not the enmeshment, but what you can do with the support of the military, with the LGBTQIA community? Like, has that been something that's been really tough to kind of, I would say not, you know, bond together, but something there? Like, is that still a struggle? Is there still stigma there?
So I think that it's funny because that's a question I get all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm very open about it, and I think a lot of people are not, and that's okay. I just choose a different perspective, and I think that you'd be surprised how much support you get. And the unit that I have now, I mean, I think a lot of people are expecting you to be like, "Yeah, the military hates like us," and
I don't that's believe just that. False.
And it's very false, and it's a narrative that people try to paint, and it's sad that people try to paint it that way because I've had the honor to serve with a few people right now who I directly work with who are nothing but incredible towards me, and they do not care about my sexuality or anything like that. And this, yes, I do want to preface that there absolutely are instances still of homophobia and not kind gestures towards people who are in the LGBTQIA plus community in the military. But my best advice to people that are having a tough time or just what I've learned is try to educate. I think if you teach people or you share with people a little bit more or explain your perspective instead of just being like, oh, they made a bad comment about me, I'm going to ignore them for my whole life. Like, just try. And if it doesn't work, you know, some people are just not good people. But, you know, the
and
ones
isn't
that are
that
willing
the
to
truth?
Learn. And the ones...
That's not just in the Absolutely. Military. That's just in the world.
I'm everywhere. But, you know, people that are willing to learn and people that are willing to, you know,
evolve.
Be open-minded.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. And sometimes you might be that bridge between, like, understanding change and staying in and other people staying in their ways and believing something their whole life. So I've had a really incredible time with it. I've had really tough times before the military back home.
Right.
That was tough. And
right.
But the military has been my support system since day one, and nothing but amazing things to say about the leaders that I've had the privilege of, you know, working underneath.
Right. Well, I feel like I'm going to ask you my final question, even though I feel like at this point I must know what the answer is. But Brian, what is your emotional support?
My emotional support is two different things. And the first piece is, you know, it's the people that I wake up with every day, look at in that uniform and know that they have a kid on the way, or they sometimes they're struggling with their bills, and sometimes they're not happy, and sometimes they're scared, and sometimes they're pissed and they're fearful or they're embarrassed of something. And all of those emotions and all of those people showed me and have shown me what it's like to be a human being and to not be a pompous douche that I absolutely can be. And I think that, again, I'm gonna re-bring this out. These are the people that are my emotional support because they're the people that I have stood by, and I have and they've stood by me. And there, you wake up in the morning and there is no judgment, and there is no there's jokes. There's funny. There's like, hey, motherfucker. I remember you in the stripper bar at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday.
And you're like, well, that wasn't a joke. That actually happened. Yes. Okay. I'm here to admit it happened.
but it's nothing but the best community of my lifetime.
Right.
And I don't know where the wet world's going to take me in the next few years. I'm probably going to be bouncing around. And as my time in downtown Los Angeles comes to a close, I have to tell you that it has been the honor of my life to be a cadet and to now eventually be a second lieutenant. And when I enlisted back in 2017 and went through boot camp and went through the training of an enlisted soldier, I also learned a lot there too. And that's my support. I think when all else fails, when all else is down, when all else is alone, they're there. And, you know, they have to be there because
yes.
The government makes them be there. But that sense of stability and that sense of structure, I would be lost without. And it's just, I would do anything for those people. And that makes me, and people always ask you, what makes you tick them? Right. And I think that the second part of that,
that's love.
Yeah. I think the second part of that is my, I'm an only child. So
same.
My mom, my dad, and my grandma. Oh. I think that those three are my rock. And I think that without their support, mm-hmm. as much as I don't want it sometimes, because it's annoying.
A lot of pressure, right?
It is. They are my little family, and they are the people that blood is everything. And sometimes people do not agree with that. And I get that. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But for me and my situation, my family blood is everything to me. And, you know, in a few weeks from now, my grandma, who's older, you know, will get to watch me commission as an officer. And I don't know how many more times and experiences and moments she'll be able to get to see. But I am, there is not a moment in my life I'm going to be more proud of than having her sit there and watch that happen. So my emotional support is the people that I stand next to every single day and the people that brought me onto this earth.
Well, you're going to make me cry, but I have to say, as someone who's older than you and lived a life, at least my voice sounds like I've lived a life. You know, my grandparents were my best friends, and I was so close to them, my grandma and grandpa. And I have to say, when my grandma had passed away, you know, I still had my grandpa, and he became even closer to me and even more of my best friend, right? And, you know, he actually, I'll tell you some fun stories at another time. He may have at a bar at another time, but he actually taught the spies. So he has quite some stories, and he was quite the intelligent gentleman. He was wonderful, but he was my best friend. And there were so many moments that I was so proud that he was able to, you know, see. And so like what you're talking about, like with your grandma, but it's even just the little things of just being able to pick up the phone and call both of them, and like, or even just him, you know, in the later years, you don't realize the importance of that support until that's gone. And I love that you said that, you know, not everyone can understand blood being family, and that's blood, and it's so important. You know, I don't have a relationship with my father and his side of the family, but the ones that I do have the relationship with, that blood is so deep, you know, and that bond is so intense and so supportive. And now I have that with my husband, you know, it's such a strong, deep, love. It's unexplainable, you know, and you can't even put into words.
Absolutely.
But I love how much you love your grandmother and of course your parents. But as you speak on being older and those moments of you not knowing how many times she'll be able to see that, you know, just know whether it's here on this earth or not on this earth, like, you know, that family will always be there in your heart and we'll be able to see that. And I'm so lucky to have met you, and I can't wait to give you a big hug in person. And I just,
thank you so much.
Anything that I can do to support, you know, the servicemen and women that are out there, and anything that we can do, is there any, you know, final thoughts for those listening right now, or any organizations or any companies that you truly believe that, you know, let's share it. Please tell us, this is the platform. Like, what can we do to help support our servicemen and women out there?
You have to be servicemen and women can smell bullshit from 7,000 miles away.
Yeah.
And if you are a company that wants to shove a person in uniform in front of your logo, you will fail because they will smell it.
Yeah.
And I think that if we want to help everyone who is struggling in the military in uniform and when they're out of uniform, you have to provide alternatives that are not a sit down. Sometimes they don't want to talk about it. Sometimes they don't want to sit with a therapist.
That's okay.
It's annoying for them. So sometimes you just got to give them a gateway.
Yeah.
Give soldiers the opportunities to do bonding experiences with each other. Give these people the opportunity to let go, do fun things, to relax, to see the views of nice places. Like, it's just be there. Let soldiers know that you're there.
Yep.
And being there is enough. Yep. Sometimes no one wants to hear your ramble. No. I know, I don't shut up. So I know.
You're like me, honey.
And I think that's the most important thing. And I guess my last words would really be that I haven't even experienced the full experience of the United States military's force. And I will be starting that in a few weeks. And it's the true, non-corny when I say this, high honor and privilege of my entire life on this earth that I get to stand there with people that I would die for. Oh. So I think that providing support systems and networks is all you can do,
right.
But it's way more than trying to grasp at straws for situations that soldiers don't need. They need right. just to know that people are there, people are listening, and that there is always a way to break the stigma. You might just have to be the first person to do it.
Oh, I love that so much. I just adore you, and you are just fabulous and fantastic and brave and strong and just beautiful inside and out. So Brian, thank you so much for coming on Emotional Support.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and truly means the world. And I really hope that one person listening today got to know that they're not alone.